Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We hear a portion of the gospel lesson again today, Luke chapter 2. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked them. "Didn't you know that it was necessary for me to be in my father's house?" We pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed, this text is perhaps more often read during the Epiphany season, but we're reading it here today during the Christmas season, in fact, the day after Christmas, and I'll explain that, why that is in just a little bit. But I want to start out by giving a brief history of the early life of Christ. The angel came to Mary and said she would give birth to a son. Then he would be called the Son of the Most High. He would reign on the throne of his father David forever. He would be called the Son of God. Later, Mary expresses to Elizabeth that this one is her Savior, my Savior, she says. Mary and Joseph travel from Bethlehem, and this is probably about the year 6 BC, maybe 7 BC. And there Jesus is born. In a stable, placed in a manger. The shepherds are approached by the angel of the Lord and then the host of angels, and they proclaim that this is Christ the Lord, and so they go and see and they spread the word. On the eighth day, Jesus is circumcised. On the 40th day, they go to Jerusalem to present him at the temple and make the proper sacrifices. And they run into a man by the name of Simeon, who had been promised by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he saw the Christ, the Messiah. Simeon says, "This is salvation from God. This is for Jews and Gentiles." They also see Anna, the prophetess, 84 years old, who speaks of the redemption of Israel. And they go back to Bethlehem. They have a house by this time. And within 1 year or 1.5 years, they are visited by Magi. And they come following the star. And the star disappears apparently for a little while. And so they go to Jerusalem and say, "Where is the king? Where is the king?" And this, of course, upsets Herod. And all Jerusalem is disturbed with him. He doesn't like the idea of another king. So Herod asks the chief priests and the teachers where to be born. And they refer him to Micah chapter 5. This ruler, this shepherd, this Christ will be born in Bethlehem. And so they depart and they see the star again and they rejoice. And they come to the exact location, the exact home, and they bow down and they worship Jesus and they present their gifts. And then they go home by a different route. And then the angel appears to Joseph and tells Joseph that they have to leave quickly because Herod will now try to kill this child. So Joseph takes Mary and Joseph to Egypt. And then after some time, the angel comes to Joseph again and says, "Herod is now dead, so you can go back to Israel." This is probably about 4 BC. And so Mary and Joseph and Jesus now go back to the land of Israel, but they bypass Jerusalem because Herod's son, who is just as cruel as his father, is ruling there now. So they go back to the hometown of Mary and Joseph. They go back to Nazareth in Galilee. So what I described to you encompasses the first 3, maybe 4 years of the life of Jesus. And there is just one other recorded event in the life of Christ before Jesus starts his public ministry at the age of 30. And that's the event of our text, the one where Jesus is 12 years old, the only event between his early childhood and he begins his public ministry. And one of the things that is so clearly emphasized in all these events in the life of Christ is this: the one who is called the Son of God, the one who is called the King, the Son of David, and the forever King, the one who is called the Shepherd and the Messiah and the Christ, is also the Son of Mary, is also a human being, just like you and me. We see this in his conception. We see this in his birth. We see this in him having to be fed and cared for and protected. And we see it as he grows and matures physically and mentally, and growth in wisdom. And his growth is so good in wisdom that he grows in favor with both God and man. This is an amazing child. Or to put it another way, you can't get any more God than Jesus. And you can't get any more human than Jesus. And because of this, his growth and wisdom is amazing. It is as it should be. And so we have here, in the early life of Christ, an example of how it should be done, how one should approach the Word of God. We also have to give credit to his parents, who brought him to these holy days commanded by God in the Old Testament. His parents, his mother and his stepfather, who also would have brought him to the synagogue back there in Nazareth, who also, very importantly, would have taught Jesus at home as commanded by God in the Old Testament. And so we have wonderful examples here. I want to make a comment on what took place at the temple when Jesus was 12 years old. We read there that Jesus listened and he asked questions, something we should also do. But we also see that he gave answers. And he gave answers to questions that were asked of him. So this was a common method of teaching. When the teachers back then taught, they just didn't say, "Here, memorize this," or "Listen to this." But in their teaching, they would ask questions. What does this mean? Do you understand this? I want you to use your human mind. I want you to think. Why is this important? Why is this true? Why is something else false? Very important when it comes to teaching. And hopefully we reflect this within our home and within confirmation class and Sunday school and even in sermons too. I also want us to note that when Jesus and the other Jews were taught, they were not only taught what to believe as true, but also what to reject as false. And that is because man by nature is a being. Man always believes something. Man is not a is kind of like a vacuum when it comes to religion. There's always something that needs to fill that void. There always needs to be something there. And the devil knows this. It reminds me of just, I think it was 2 days ago, I was holding my youngest grandson, Soren. And he had something in his hand when I picked him up, something he shouldn't have had. And so how was I going to get that out of his hand? Well, I could just grab it from him, and that would really make things quite miserable for both him and me. So I thought, oh, I know what I'll do. I'll take it quickly and give him something else in return that he would like and desire. And that is how the devil works. He not only says, don't believe what is true, but here, let me give you something else that you would like and desire. And so Satan is always coming to us, and the world is always coming to us with teachings and doctrines and religions and worldviews and philosophies that always appear so tempting and desireful, and they are very tempting. And he often does that by means of questions we may not be asking, or our children may not be asking, but he answers them anyway. And we see this all the time today. You know, questions such as, you know, who or what is really important to you? Who or what determines what is true for you, and what you should believe and how you should live? He answers the question, what should I identify as? Do I get to choose my own identity? A very popular question these days. What is good? What is evil? What's wrong with the world? Or what's wrong with me? What is justice? What is injustice? Are all religions basically the same? Are all worldviews basically the same? What about that Bible? Is that really true? Again, these are questions that should be asked, but maybe we don't ask them. But keep in mind that the devil and the world always seek to provide answers for them, contrary to the Word of God. All that we should do when it comes to our learning, and all that we should do when it comes to the teaching of those underneath us, can be quite overwhelming. So much that has to be done. And when we compare ourselves to the example of Jesus, and sometimes others as well, but especially Jesus, in his learning, in his teaching, it can be very, very humbling and convicting. But the good news is that Jesus is not only our example. If Jesus were only an example, it would be quite a bit of despair. So Jesus and his learning, his teaching, the way he did it as a human being, it was amazing. It was perfect, but it was for our comfort. For his life is our covering. This perfect infant, this 12-year-old child, learned perfectly, and he was sent by his Father to be our redemption. His sinless life covers our sins. I'm reminded here of in these Marvel movies, these superhero movies, and some of them have this power to put this cover over other people to protect them. And that's how we can look at what Jesus did for us, his perfect life, his perfect learning stands as a cover over our sinfulness. It's like he was saying, I was the perfect, I was the perfect child, I was the perfect son, I was the perfect human being, I was the perfect learner, I was the perfect lover of God and man in your place. My righteousness becomes yours. And with that perfect righteousness of mine, I also went to the cross for the forgiveness of all your shortcomings, all your failures, all your sins. And so, my brothers and sisters in Christ, as you and I compare ourselves to Christ and see how we have fallen short, as you and I repent, and as you and I believe in Jesus, the Son of God and the Son of Man, we have the righteousness of Christ. We have forgiveness of all our sins. But with that comfort, we then see Jesus as our example. Today, this Christmas season of redemption and forgiveness is a wonderful time to renew and rededicate ourselves to the example of Christ, both in his learning and our teaching. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.